From the studios in Bentonville, Arkansas, you're listening to 8th & Walton's Retail Supplier Podcast. Each week, we discuss the issues facing Walmart suppliers and bring you solutions from industry experts. Visit us online at 8thandwalton.com if you have questions about today's podcast. And now your host, Jared Davis.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. We've got a great show for you today because we are covering that ever-changing topic of Walmart supply chain. So, as a supplier, you're already dealing with supply chain challenges. You've got the pandemic issues, you've got truck driver shortages, and all the larger problems that fall within that animal alone. Throw in being a Walmart supplier, and now, what have you got to deal with? OTIF and SQEP, and now RFID tagging. So your 2022 holiday planning really needs to begin today. And it's always a smart choice to consider partnering with a logistics firm that knows Walmart and has a proven track record of success. That's why we are very happy to have back on today's podcast, Mr. Greg Forbus of RJW. Greg is the Executive Vice President of Strategy and Business Development for RJW. And it's always great to get his perspective since he and his team are working right there on the front line with Walmart suppliers. Greg, it is so great to see you again, sir.
Hey, thank you, Jared. Great to be here with you again.
You know, Greg, since the last time we spoke, it feels like supply chain itself has really been in the national headlines about every other week. So I want to start with you and your team at RJW. How are you doing, and how's RJW been able to tackle a lot of these challenges that we've seen over the last year?
Yeah, it feels like 2 years is like 100 years is what it really feels like. But, you know, we've had a very busy and a busy productive year. The last year has brought lots of learnings to us across many facets of the business. You know, what we continue to see from some of those past learnings over 2021 is that volume really exceeds what the forecasted demand is. Our suppliers do a phenomenal job sharing with us what they expect demand to be, but volume just continues to jump ahead of that. And so, you know, what does that mean for us? Is that now we're going to have to hop in and add equipment and add staffing to really offset that. And we've been very fortunate to do that, even in a time when, you know, we continue to see labor constraints across the board. And, you know, we really put a lot of focus on our recruiting efforts. Our HR team just does a phenomenal job week in and week out and day after day helping us recruit talent. You know, and that doesn't come without some additional cost in the business, right? Like everybody else that's in, it's in the warehousing operations or transportation, there's been wage increases. But along with that, our HR team has been really smart and thoughtful about recruiting incentives and attendance incentives and et cetera. And then you throw in this thing called carrier capacity, I think that we've all really been faced with. That's been a challenge. It's a challenge for everybody, but we've been, again, been very fortunate to be able to increase our driver pool. As we've increased our driver pool, we've been able to add equipment that we needed. And as we've done that, we've been able to take our own equipment and put it into our retail business and continue to deliver those loads to really help us offset some of those market cost increases that we've seen.
So, Greg, as you've been analyzing everything that's changing in retail and supply chain that you just mentioned over the last year to 18 months, what kind of trends are you seeing that are going to be with us all through 2022?
You know, I think we've all learned many. You can't probably turn on some sort of retail podcast or webinar and hear about the trends that have been over the last couple of years. But I think the three really that I see not going away are consumer behaviors. While they are continuing to change and to morph, and more people are looking at e-commerce and home delivery and online grocery, they are ever changing, and they're going to continue to be, I want it when I want it, where I want it, and how I want it. And, you know, a great example is Walmart home delivery, right? I'm addicted now. It's just really easy to set up my iPad or my laptop, put in my order, pick my time, and it's there for me. Sure, there's an out here or there, but that's all part of it. And then, you know, the other piece that hasn't gone away over the last 2 years is this demand fluctuation. it's going to continue. And inventory management is such a key right now for our suppliers. For any supplier, when you really think back about it, you know, if you're a branded product or even if you're private label, if you're on the shelf, when that customer comes in to buy it, boom, you've got a sale, right? If you're out of stock, then I'm going to look to maybe a private label, maybe a different brand to help me. Because if I want peanut butter, I want peanut butter. And I may change flavors just to get to what I want to get to. And so I think inventory management is really going to be key. And then retailers want product. You walk down the aisles and you see food shelves that are barren in some categories. They want to fill those shelves with product because their customers are demanding it and need it. So it's really a great opportunity for suppliers that maybe are not in certain retailers to really say, hey, I've got a great product. Now's my chance, right? I've got inventory and I've got that opportunity to really go after and fill some of the need that the retailers have. And then you really think back, retailer compliance isn't going to change. So, you know, Walmart dropped into SQEP, Sam's has made some changes to OTIF. And so you're continuing to see that. We also see it at the other retailers that we deliver to, whether it's a Meijer or whether it's a Kroger or even an HEB. You continue to see the retailer compliance just continuing to be at the forefront. And I think that it actually, I said three, it's really four, Jared. I think the last one is capacity is gonna remain tight. I think we're gonna always talk about drivers and truck shortages. Labor, while we believe we're kind of on, hopefully on the back end of the great resignation, you're gonna see pockets in markets where labor is challenging and it's gonna remain tight. And you're gonna see associates that are gonna jump potentially from one opportunity to the other. I think we're also hearing a lot about raw materials from our suppliers, whether it's the resin for the bottle cap or the corrugate for the cardboard or the one bean that goes in the seven bean soup, right? Those continue to be challenges. I think we've got to continue to work through. And then our suppliers are going to see equipment challenges are going to be ahead of us too. So I think all this is going to be at the forefront of what we're looking at coming into this year.
Well, with everything that, you know, you kind of described as challenges throughout 2022, is it even foreseeable to have a return to some kind of normalcy or leveling it out in the next year or so? What are you seeing on the front line?
You know, I think about it in kind of in buckets in my mind. You know, from a demand perspective, is we've seen different variants come into the market related to what we've faced over the last couple of years. We've seen surges and you've seen surges in demands. So you've got this kind of demand component that's not really going away. And then that demand component now fuels transportation capacity and warehouse capacity. I think suppliers have learned a lot over the last year, year and a half. And, you know, we're starting to see carrier capacity bend a little bit. And I say bend to kind of start maybe on a downward trend, meaning there's capacity in the market space to help us. And it's market specific. I can't tell you it's across the United States. I've read a lot of articles. I've looked at a lot of charts. I've tried to study a lot of things. Probably what I hear the most consistent is that they believe we'll start to see some rationalization in carrier capacity and warehouse capacity sometime, you know, beginning of the summer, hopefully into the fall. But again, you just never know what that other wild card is going to be, right? What's the next shoe to fall, so to speak?
I know sometimes, Greg, with the circumstances we've been talking about, suppliers feel like things are just way out of their control. Do suppliers have any control over the unprecedented congestion that we've seen, you know, post-pandemic and through the holiday season?
I believe suppliers do have some control. And I believe it really starts with a couple different things. And it's really thinking about your supply chain, where you were at the beginning of the pandemic, where are you now? What do you foresee, right? We've heard so much conversation about the West Coast, the port congestion. And we have seen it ourselves, just longer lead times for suppliers to get product from overseas, from Asia, wherever the case may be. But we've also seen suppliers take those matters into their own hands, right? They're looking at port diversification. They're saying, man, I'm not going to get caught by this LA Long Beach process again. I'm going to try and go north to Seattle. If I can't make success there, maybe I'll go to Houston. Maybe I'll spend a little bit more money and go to the East Coast. And now I've got options to bring product in. Does that add cost? Yes, it adds cost, but it's also some assurity of what you see going. And the other piece I think that's imperative is for suppliers is over communicate to your transportation providers, to your warehousing providers, to your manufacturers, what you think the plan's going to be. The plan may change a week into it, and we may start all over again, and we may just end up back where we were, but over communicate that plan. And I think you'll continue to see success and begin to take some of that control back. I won't tell you that they're going to have 100% control, but I think they'll feel better about the control they have.
So, Greg, as we're coming up on March, you know, suppliers really need to be thinking about the busy back-to-school season and then rolling right into holiday 2022. From your vantage point, how should suppliers be preparing for the months ahead and maybe even laying that groundwork for the next couple of years?
I think, again, there's so many learnings that so many people have had, suppliers, and we hear it in the reviews that we do with suppliers talking about their business and what's coming up. And I think back to a couple, three things. Again, you know, this, how do you get ahead of the inventory production problem, right? If you're thinking about a back to school and you're a big back to school supplier and I have components and I have raw materials available, how do I build that up? You know, that has led to some of this capacity crunch on the warehousing side because suppliers are trying to get so far ahead of it in anticipation. But I believe that it's the suppliers that have done it and done it well have been very successful. So thinking about getting ahead of this inventory production run that you have, and then understand, you know, really what is your actual demand to your forecasted demand? And how do you make adjustments on the fly, taking into account seasonality that's coming up? You know, a lot of retailers right now are going through modular resets. And so usually when you get a modular reset, there's a lift in sales because now you've got product in a spot, whether it's the 6-foot section of peanut butter or the 12-foot section of cereal. As you get modular resets, people see things they like. And continue to think about what those are. I also think about, as you think about what demand looks like, is that it's, and what, and as you think about going into the modular season, is you've got some unproductive SKUs in your mix, right? I think you're going to continue to see some SKU rationalization, thinking about those slow movers that just take up space. I think buyers are thinking that way. I think replenishment is thinking that way. Suppliers need to think that way too. Even though they may make great margin on some of those small, maybe you put that production into where you want to be. And then a piece that I believe is absolutely critical is you take all those thoughts into that you think about inventory production, your fluctuations, your impacts, your SKU reductions, and then build out that supply plan and think about what does it look like from raw material to manufacturing to my 3PL, to my transportation providers, to the retailer, even include the retailer and say, hey, what do you see? Here's what I see. And then over communicate it to all those parties that are involved, because what you don't want is your raw material supplier to get a surprise because of a retailer demand down here, or you don't want your manufacturing to get surprised because you didn't have enough raw material. I think the over communication right now is important, and it's important to everybody. So the farther you get ahead of it, the more frequently you talk about it, I think the better fall season you're going to have and the better productivity you're going to have in the backside.
And I want to remind all suppliers that if you're thinking about the busy back-to-school season, thinking about the holiday season, and you need help, you want to learn more about RJW Services, I've got a link in our podcast description. Check out their website, everything they can do for you, and you can get more great advice from Greg Forbus, like you've heard here on this podcast. Greg, it is always great to see you. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having us, Jared. I really appreciate it.